Well, good morning, everybody. Yesterday, I had the joy of being at St. Meinrad because we had the ordination there of Deacon, now Deacon Jose Neary. Remember him from the summer of 2019. And then also ordained yesterday was the seminarian we will have with us this summer, now Deacon Jack Wright. And so it was just a joyous, joyous, beautiful day. Just incredible gift from God. And as I was getting ready for Mass, of course, all the priests are getting ready in the same room, and I'm standing next to my preaching professor from the old days in the seminary, and he's Father Garrick. He says, "Are you still doing the Kuchar Top Five?" And I said, "I forgot that was a thing." But they made fun of me in the seminary because when I would practice preaching, I could never limit my ideas to one idea. I had at least five of them, and I said, "Well, you know, I ought to go back to that." So here's my top five for today. Now, don't worry, Jim; they're short. Okay. Number one, when I was in Milwaukee this past week too for a vocation director convention, and it was a lot of fun. But there's this coffee shop, and there was a sign on top of a table, and it said, "No one may speak ill of a brother or a sister at this table." Isn't that lovely? Like, here we are, like, divine mercy. And what does divine mercy mean if I'm not merciful? If I don't receive the mercy of Jesus here and in the confessional and in other places in prayer, and then if I just let it stop there and don't share it? Crazy. And so that probably sign should be on top of our dining room tables. No one may speak ill of a brother or a sister at this table. Love it. Number two, I just was reading this book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a really good book. And it's all about how fast-paced our world is and how most people walk around frenzied and with a to-do list that is too long. And this book is... the main point of it, it's written from a Christian perspective, is that you and I are surrounded by grace, but very often we're too busy to notice it. And that the mercies of Jesus are so many. We celebrate divine mercy today, and like, we are surrounded by God's mercy. Everything is mercy. My breath, every breath is mercy. The fact that we woke up this morning is a mercy. We can all think of mercies that we've received in the last day. Like, but so often, it's like, "Oh, 5 minutes, I gotta do this. And so the whole purpose, the main like point of the book is eliminate from your life things that make you, distract you from noticing God every day. We should notice God at least 100 times a day. Number three is this. We are enveloped by mercy, right? Like, I found it interesting in our readings today, they all have to do with a touch. Like, in our second reading, St. John is sitting on an island called Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation, and he had been put there by the emperor. He was put there for preaching Christ. And there he is. He's kind of bored and afraid, presumably very lonely. And all of a sudden, God puts a hand on his shoulder. In our gospel, Jesus says, "Here, put your finger here, Thomas, in my side, in my wounds. Touch." In the first reading, it wasn't even a touch. It was, "I want to stand in the shadow of an apostle." It's like, I just want to be in a shadow of an apostle. Like, that, we are, it's more, but for us, that's not enough for Jesus. Like, Jesus envelops us with grace and mercy. Look at the rays of mercy coming out of him. And that you and I live our lives under the rays of Jesus and divine mercy. And that's why we have to ruthlessly eliminate things that keep us from noticing. Because, holy smokes, everything is gift. Everything is grace. Even the obstacles are good. Because everything with Christ works to the good. And we live our lives in that mercy, enveloped, flooded in the very deepest recesses of our lives. That's where those rays of mercy go. And that's just amazing. You know, we have strong encounters with mercy in the sacraments, obviously. But mercy doesn't end there. And mercy is just, it's all over. Pray God will notice it. The fourth thing is that, what does the Lord do with this mercy? Why do we celebrate on the second Sunday of Easter? It's because mercy gives life. Mercy gives life, mercy gives life. Without mercy, we have no life here. We have no life hereafter. Mercy. We would have eternal damnation were it not for the mercy of Jesus Christ. We would have no decent life here on earth were it not for the mercy of Jesus Christ. And we see this, I think, in our readings, because maybe there was a part of John that was like, I'd rather just sit here on the island, you know, like. But Jesus' mercy sends him out on an adventure for the rest of his life. I bet you these 12 apostles who are sitting there, there they are in the upper room, and they've got the doors locked. They're afraid. They're sitting in fear, and they were happy to live the rest of their lives that way until Jesus doesn't even open the door. He breaks right through the door, and he sends them out on a mission. He institutes the sacrament of confession there, and then he sends them out on a mission. He sends them on an adventure. And man, that's what happens with Jesus. Religion gets a bad rap because too many people think that religion, Christianity, tames people. Au contraire, religion gives life to people. Without Christ, life is routine and meaningless and pointless. With Jesus and the adventure that he sets us out on, life is full. I was reading this book called, it's a great book, Man Alive. And there's this one character who has this, there's this one like larger than life character, and he comes into the scene. He's the Jesus figure. He comes in there, and all of a sudden people realize that their lives have been pointless until now. And the one guy that everybody thought was the cool guy, he was the party animal. He was the wild one. The guy goes after this really great like encounter with he says this: if you have heard that I am wild, let me correct you. I am tame. I am quite tame. I'm the tamest beast that crawls. I drink too much of the same kind of whiskey at the same time every night. I even drink about the same amount too much. I go to the same number of bars. I meet the same women there. And so forth. And then he says, but Christ confounded, after meeting this man, who, by the way, and he moves into this apartment building, and he notices there's a door, there's like a trap door in the ceiling. He's like, what's up there? And they're like, oh, we never even noticed that was there. And they go, he goes, oh, this is a perfect place for a picnic. Come up, we'll have a picnic on the roof. And so this, he goes, right after that moment, he goes, this is the thinnest and filthiest wine I've ever uncorked. And it's the only drink I have ever really enjoyed in my life. I was never wild until just 10 minutes ago. Love it. Because that's what Jesus does, right? That is what Jesus does, is that he brings us into the great adventure of discipleship. Sin is the boring life. Not following Christ is the boring thing. But to follow Christ radically, which is the only way that you can follow Jesus, by the way, is where life really, really, really is. And so, and it's all this, it's the mercy of the Lord that breaks in to that. I was thinking with that, with the new deacons yesterday and the adventure they've already been on, but man, the adventure they're going to be on in the rest of their lives, it's like, it's just awesome. When we cooperate with the Lord in all this, it's just the best. I don't remember what my fifth thing was, so I'll just stop it. Just stop it right there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure it was good, though.